The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are you taking us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives, from Circa, the mothership, right here in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, good morning, sir. What is going on with the sky?
What, you mean like the sandstorm that's going on
is
outside?
Is that what that is?
I have no idea.
Did you notice there was a haze above that?
No, yes, I noticed. Yes, I meant to text you about it. No, we did not talk about this pre-show, obviously. No. I meant to text you about it because it's another great example of how terrible I am at checking any type of weather things here in Vegas.
I did the same thing. I looked. I was like, is this real clouds or is this something? It's something because it shows sunshine all day long. So okay. Is it a sandstorm or fire?
It's probably wind just kicking up sand.
Or wind moving.
Or maybe it's fire. I don't know. This is so bad.
That's your Doppler radar forecast.
I mean, when it rains like 5 days a year out here,
right.
it's like you don't get in the habit of checking weather apps very often.
At all. But there is a strange haze over the city. Did you watch the debate last night?
I did. I did watch most of it.
Oh, did you really?
I did watch most of it. I mean, it was pretty lengthy. A lot of it was repeated, you know.
If you didn't like Kelly Bidlin on weather, now you get Kelly Bidlin on politics. I'm very proud of you for watching most of that.
Oh, thank you.
Good for you. Your civic duty was performed.
That's
well
right.
done.
Was it on TV too? And I went back and forth a lot. Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of repetition of their points. I get it.
You find the candidates repetitious.
Yes, I do.
Yes. I don't know if you've ever seen a debate before. It was interesting from a betting line standpoint. Again, we talk about the election here, apolitically speaking, but I think the biggest takeaway from it last night was that the moderator from ABC News, David Muir, was sort of the central figure of this debate. And if you are a Trump supporter, the sort of most common reaction was, oh, he only challenged former President Trump. He didn't challenge Vice President Harris at all. And so it was a skewed debate. That was the average Trump supporter reaction. I think the person that is supporting Vice President Harris, their reaction, unlike the previous one between former President Trump and President Biden, where nothing was challenged by moderators on CNN, I think that their position was, well, if Kelly Bidlin says to me, Gil, you're eating cats and dogs in a certain city, that a moderator should be allowed to sort of challenge that comment.
To clear up the facts and say
local officials, just so everyone knows, have found that no pets have been harmed in the process. So that was an interesting reaction. That it was a much more sort of proactive response for the moderators. And as far as the betting lines are concerned, and we will talk about this, we're less than 2 months from now until the election. Before the debate at BetMGM Ontario, where apparently they're allowed to take bets on the American election north of the border. We love you, Game Plus. It was -135 on Trump, +110 on Kamala Harris prior to the debate. After the debate, it had gone to... former President Trump -120, Vice President Harris -110. And this morning that has flipped to Vice President Harris being -120 and former President Trump being -110. So for those who are interested in that kind of thing, that's where that is after the debate that Kelly Bidlin watched.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think no surprise there on the odds move, right?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. How many debates have you watched in your young life?
I mean, I'd like to think, I don't appreciate this line of questioning, okay?
So what do you mean? Am I suggesting something?
Yeah, I feel like you're suggesting something. And, if there was a random NBA regular season basketball game on last night, would it have made the screen? Probably not. But if
there was a Mac game last night.
You know what, Gil? I'd like to think that I've watched most of all of them, okay? But I'm very truthful about last night. Like, come on. Yeah. As soon as I hear the same point brought up the fifth time, I'm like, and mute TV too and turn up volume TV. What?
What is the lowest level sporting event you would have watched over that? A Maction game?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I mean, CFL, without a doubt.
CFL you would have watched over?
Yeah.
That's just un-American.
Give me a great Ottawa Red Blacks game. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
A little Alouettes and the Argonauts. That
yeah,
kind of thing.
Alouettes, yeah.
Okay. You know, I got a tweet yesterday from somebody who was talking about the Megapod. By the way, beating the book Megapod, which tremendous response and downloads the first one again. I'm always humbled by the response to that show and in Guessing Lines as well, which airs here. And then we put it in podcast form. That's even more awesome from everybody who listens, the loyal for 14 years now doing these. Joe Pita, by the way, Joe Pita will be the guest on this week's Megapod. But someone, I think correctly, I want to say it was our buddy, Jordan. What was his name? I will say, is that your real name? Anyway, he said on Twitter, hey, could you, in the middle of the Megapod, could you run back the picks? Because you guys go off on some tangents, and so I might not get to them, and so I just need a recap. We like to do it on this show. We remind ourselves, Kelly and I do, that once we do guessing lines and we give the picks, we don't often come back to our picks until Friday.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that.
Well, I think especially for you, right? Because a lot of times I've made bets on Sunday off of openers and we're doing guessing lines. But I know it's as you're going through it, it's, oh, hey, that number's way off.
I put them in right
afterwards.
Probably
going to be a bet for me. So, yeah. We'll usually try to do it on Tuesdays, but we're here on Wednesday doing it.
I feel like a complete square ball this week. Is that allowed?
Yeah, Kelly and the Square Bears, hop on board, buddy.
I feel completely like a square ball. These are the plays that I have made. And this is all based on our guessing lines exercise, which again, the point is it's sort of an interactive thing. Hopefully you're doing your own guessing lines while we're doing it. And the point of that is to sort of extract value. But I ended up with four favorites, which I don't ever like that. One of which is, and I wanted to get in, and one of them is worse. One of my plays is worse than what it's available at now. But what I ended up with was the four that I sent you, which was, I took Miami, right? Because I thought Miami being under three, and they were one at the time. I'm going to get the exact lines that I bet because I don't want to make up. So I'm calling it right now. But I think I got it one or one and a half. Let me make sure. Yes. And so now it's two or two and a half on that. So, one and a half is where I got the Miami Dolphins against the Buffalo Bills. Again, that's Thursday night. I didn't think there was any justification for that being under three. I know there's a lot of people who say, of course it should be under three. Well, I don't see it that way. Miami minus one and a half was where I got that at. It's about two consensus now. I got the Ravens at 9.5 at minus 115 because I figured this is going to 10. So let me grab it before it gets to 10.
I'm about to pause you right there. Yes. Interesting thing going on in the market with this today.
Yes.
It's like almost blanketed 9.5s yesterday. We have 10s, but we also have 9s.
Where are the 9s?
Circa's got 9. DraftKings got 9.
Okay, there you go.
We've got, a couple offshores with 10. Station's got 10. Southpoint's got 9.5. So we're scattered throughout. I guess we should mention Lamar Jackson, but I don't really know that I'm reading into that at all. Mispracticed on Monday. If it's not in his actual contract, at this point, it's just got to be an understanding between him and Harbaugh that he's going to regularly take some practice.
Practice optional?
Yes, practice is optional.
So I got the Ravens at minus 9.5 because I think they're going to absolutely roll the Raiders. This feels like one of those typical Ravens home games where they just beat up on somebody and win by 30. Anyway, that's what I'm going with.
I completely agree. I was a little stunned yesterday with Drew.
Drew and I were oppo on everything.
Yeah, I was a little stunned when he said he was on the Raiders.
Yeah. Now, this one I got at a worse number that currently exists. I got the Cowboys at minus 6.5. I thought that was going to go to 7 against the Saints. Nope, it's 6 a lot of places now on the Cowboys.
Only a couple that I'm seeing out there. Mainly 6.5.
Okay.
Well. That's a good point, though. If this goes... I mean, if it's 5.5, I'm definitely on the Cowboys side. It's 6, though, even though I got to think about that.
I don't know what we know. Did we learn anything about the Saints against the Panthers?
Not at all.
I don't want to not give them credit, but at the same time, I just think, that's part of, if you step back and you think about what these two football teams did. By the way, there's a lot of, there's a lot of Deshaun Watson hate after his performance week one. I know there's off the field stuff that create hate as well. But as far as his performance on the field, there's a lot of hate about that. But he did play the Dallas Cowboys defense, which is filled with players and filled with so much talent. So, for everything, I don't want to overreact. And for me, the Cowboys are a way more talented team than the Saints are.
So, I think both those teams, Saints and Cowboys, right? Did they probably get a bump by, odds makers, a lot of bettors out there, just a lot of casual bettors out there? Yeah, they probably got a bump after week one, each of them, right? Saints absolutely dismantling the Panthers, and then the Cowboys going into Cleveland and picking up that win. But I think you kind of hit on it. What is more sustainable? What do you actually trust in being more real in what you saw? And it's more to the Cowboys than the Saints to me. So yeah. I don't disagree with that play at all.
The other one I grabbed, because people are convinced I hate the Lions. Remember last year I would never power rank the Lions above eight or nine at the end.
You hate them, yep.
Yeah, I hate the Lions. Here's who I hate according to people. I hate the Lions. I hate the Bills. I love this.
I got the Lions. Every tennis player not named Iga.
Every tennis player not named Iga. Hate them too. That's right. I got the Lions -7 against the Buccaneers. I think, you know, Todd Wright, our buddy, who used to come on our show regularly, talk fantasy with us. Todd Wright, the greatest sports radio host there ever was, in my opinion, what he did up all night with Todd Wright and over at ESPN Radio. He said to me before that Lions-Rams game, Sunday night, he had mentioned this offseason. He goes, he thinks the winner of that Lions-Rams game is going to host the NFC Championship against that same opponent.
Interesting. Okay.
And so the Lions end up winning this. We'll do our power rankings tomorrow, I believe. We'll see. I think I have the Lions higher than ever before. Lions, people who think I hate the Lions. But I got them -7 here against the Buccaneers, who similarly with the Saints, I don't know that we learned anything from 1 week. Again, I'm fighting the general consensus recency bias on this stuff. Just because Baker Mayfield went 24 of 30 against a sieve of a Washington defense who was no account, no tackling, no covering, no nothing, no talent. I don't think the Bucs are necessarily great. Now, they may cover, and I may be wrong here, but as far as my feelings on it right now, those four bets were made.
Yeah, this is
all favorites. I don't like that, though.
I'm kind of looking at the over in that game, even though it keeps rising, so I probably should have bet it already. You've got major, major Tampa Bay cluster injuries in that secondary, so that is going to be a big-time advantage for Detroit.
Like the Cowboys on turf, like the Lions on turf, like all that. We'll come back. Some baseball. Mark Borchardt. Base winner on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
With the NFL underway, hey, the NFL started. There's never been a better time to become a Visa Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full Visa Pro access to our daily best bets, betting splits, betting systems, 24/7 video access. Grab our football season special and get full Visa Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99 and see why Visa Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and start betting smarter today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Steven, Brosec 1870. Let's have a good show today, he says, Kelly. No Eli and I slander. Didn't know I would have two mics and a Kelly Bidlin on my hit list by week three.
When it comes to the Illini and me, better watch out. It's always the team I go after.
You hate the Illini, traditionally.
Traditionally.
A tradition unlike any other from Kelly. Sean Fox plays, I feel you're missing something on the new kickoff rules. Instead of giving them the ball at the 35, why not just move the kicker back 5 yards? Should lead to less touchbacks and teams forced to not bring it out, and let's move college football overtime to the 35 as a priority, at least. He's making all kinds of rule changes, Sean.
Did you see the kicks after the safeties in Seattle? Because they are further back, I believe. And it was like, it was comical.
That was the weirdest half of football of the entire weekend. God, they were in jail the whole first half.
Yeah, if you were on Seattle and Survivor, it was no fun. Yeah, can anybody block?
I wish I had been smart enough in the moment to have been like, okay, now just hit Seattle up.
I mean, you can't have two halves like that. When you see offensive lines, though, struggle like that and get hurt, like that is, it's scary, especially when you knew that was one of their major problems heading into the season.
A couple more here. This is Old Guy Get Off My Lawn. He says, I love guessing lines back on the Beating the Book podcast. After Gil gives his guess, I would really like to hear the opening line, along with where the line is now. Heard it on some of the games, but not all of them. Thanks for the great show. All right, Kelly, there's one in the suggestion box for you.
I'll step it up next week.
And then Loose Cannon.
I actually believe Brendan's working on that for the graphics, too. So you're ahead on us. You're ahead on us.
You ever see an old Sidney Poitier movie where he goes, she's a loose cannon? Loose Cannon says, darts is the cutoff. I would watch darts over the debate, but I'm not watching table tennis over the debate.
Well, we're talking about like the 16-year-old dart thrower who's like really like 34. But like, did you see that guy? You've seen that guy, right?
Great Americans, everybody listening. That's great.
See, the thing about darts is you could play darts while watching the debate.
I see. This is the office that Lincoln and Washington once inhabited. We're like, I'll watch darts. Let's talk some baseball. Special numbers game investigation reveals that the baseball season still continues, even though football has started. Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert at BaseWinter, basewinter.com, courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Mark was haddening.
Oh, Gil, it's a this is a tough day for me. When you handicap, the first column in my chart is always the date. And it's a really tough – I don't know why this year is really a lot harder. 9/11 is just really – I'm really struggling today. And and it's I think that for me, I think it's really telling. If you go, and I'm not going to get too political, but if you go to the Yahoo, what's trending, 9/11 is 10th and like Tyreek Hill 6th. It's like what's going on? And I don't want to be like the old guy on the lawn, like you just said. I don't know. It's just it's bothering me. So it's really tough. This is a tough day for me, Gil.
I feel your emotion. 23 years. Since 9/11. That is hard to believe. And you're right, Mark. I understand your sentiment that with the passage of time, things get forgotten and perhaps that shouldn't be. So your sentiment is appreciated. No artful segue to this.
Well, I think one thing I can say is that to take it to baseball handicapping is I do have value playing against the Mets and playing against the Yankees today, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make a play against the New York teams today. I think there needs to be a sign of reverence, and that's, I guess, my special way of showing the sign of reverence to New York. But why can't we have the Mets versus the Yankees on 9/11? I know it's hard for MLB to get standardized baseballs, but let's make that a tradition. I would love to see that personally.
Yeah, for real.
You know, I'm all for it. It's interesting. The memories of post 9/11. The game where former President Bush threw the pitch right down the middle was a Yankees game, but Mets fans remember it as it was actually us that had the first game afterwards. And I know some Mets fans who are still rubbed wrong by that, but either way, it was absolutely indelible in our minds as part of the days after, or I should say, the couple weeks after. The tragedy of 9/11. So that you know what, Mark? I mean, a hat tip to you for taking that approach. I was going to ask you about those Mets beyond today's game, which is the Mets lost last night, the Braves won. And that means they are both tied, the Braves and the Mets, for the final position in the National League playoff picture, the number 3 wild card spot. If I look at strength of schedule, and obviously we're on September 11th, so the schedule is, 17 games left for each of these two teams. But if I look at strength of schedule, the New York Mets, along with the Giants, but the New York Mets tied for the hardest remaining schedule, a 551 aggregate winning percentage of the remaining opponents. They've got 7 left against the Phillies. They got 3 left against the Brewers, and then 3 left against these very same Braves. What do your numbers tell you in terms of the probabilities of the Braves versus the Mets getting that final wild card position?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me this question, and so I have it right in front of me. I've got the Braves at 59.3% and the Mets at 47.9%. But I think that when we were on the show last week, I think it was last week, you had mentioned that, are these teams going to really play for everything? And with the Phillies, you wonder, is that first seed worth maybe getting a guy injured? I don't know. That's a question that the front office of the Phillies has to answer, but it will play a part whether they, if they're going to start Zach Wheeler or pitch Zach Wheeler for, 7 innings in a game or go to a guy, a rookie. And that's really going to play a part in it. And I think it played a part, Gil, in your handicap for the Diamondbacks to have the best record this month. And I thought it was a really good approach and something that I think maybe would be something the market doesn't consider, Gil.
Well, I appreciate that. Give us the percentage again that your numbers say on the Braves and the Mets.
Braves 59.3, Mets 47.9. And this takes no subjectivity. It's just all objectivity based on pitching ratings, batting ratings, that sort of thing. And it takes into all the games in the schedule. But I thought what was really interesting with the Braves, Gil, is if you look at the XFIP in baseball, and it's something that we both love to look at, they're the top team in baseball, number one in baseball. And yet they're still struggling to try to get into the playoffs. So I think I thought that was a pretty interesting stat.
Seth Lugo, great outing against the Yankees yesterday for the Royals. He's 16-8. His ERA is now sub 3. Still got no shot at winning AL Cy Young, right? It's Scoobles.
I think it's Scooble. Yeah. I mean, you know, what's interesting is the strikeout race is so tight between Sale and Scooble. And we have a guy on the BetUS MLB show, Kenny McAndrus, and he had 80-1 on Scooble. And that thing probably won't get there, but at least it's got a little bit of legs, Gil. So I wanted to shout out to him on the show and to really kind of point out that strikeout race. I think that's one of the – you know, Gil, this is like a – you know, I look at baseball like a book. It's six chapters, right? Each month's a chapter. And usually that sixth chapter is the most exciting chapter. You got pennant races, you got seeds, you got all kinds of things going on in that sixth chapter. And this sixth chapter is going to be boring. I mean, I hate to say it, but there's really not a lot of suspense other than what we just touched upon, the Mets and the Braves. Gil.
Yeah, by the way, the Tom Tango Cy Young tracker, which is tried and true over the years, he gets it almost right every time. It's reflected in the betting market. He's got Sale and Scooble now, respectively, with huge leads in both the National League and the American League per his formula. The only other thing I want to note is that Paul Skenes has crept up all the way to the number three spot in the Cy Young race. I don't say that pertaining to the Cy Young race, but I do want to ask you real quick before you get to your picks about the National League Rookie of the Year race. Do you think it's over? If you had a vote right now, who would you have, and then who would you bet at this point?
No, it's Merrill for me, and okay. I guess I'm a traditionalist. The guy shows up every day and he plays, and I think you'd have to be, and you can look at the awards throughout the years, last 30 years, I guess, if you will. And I think a lot of people share that sentiment too. The pitcher can win, but it's got to be that much better. So if there's ever a debate, it goes for me at least to the position player, Gil.
All right, what you got today, Mark?
Well, it's a huge card, Gil, and I mentioned that I'm not playing against the Mets or the Yankees, and there's value on both those teams for those of you who want to do that. But I have two parlays that are really good. I like Cleveland and maybe brain dead parlay, Cleveland minus 220 with Detroit minus 175. That pays plus 128. And then I've got another parlay. This is a bigger parlay. I've got Philly, Minnesota, the Padres plus a run and a half in a really low scoring run environment. Three-teamer pays plus 216. Philly, Minnesota, San Diego Padres, full game plus 1.5. And then this is the straight game that I like today, the side play, if you will, is Pivetta and the Red Sox versus Baltimore. I've got this game priced minus 225. It's in the market at minus 138. You know, Pivetta, 34.4% strikeout percentage last 17 median. That's in the 99th percentile. And if that's not enough, his stuff plus is in the 98th percentile. So you got those two really good numbers going in with an offense that I think is comparable, the Red Sox offense with the Orioles. So that's my side play, and those are the two parlays that I'm going to go with.
All right, Marky Mark, Funky Bunch Not Pictured. Thank you at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, and the BetUS podcast, which he does every single day as well. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gil.
Coming back, Kelly and I on the NFL, overreaction or not an overreaction. That is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, we never say our Twitter handles. You notice that?
No, we don't.
We just throw them on the screen.
Yeah, they're always on there if you're watching.
I guess
them.
I say at Beating the Book when I read the tweets all the time. But Kelly Bidlin is strangely not at Kelly Bidley. It's at Kelly Bidlin. he spells his name EYKELLEYBYDLON.
Yeah, it was not that for a long time. Do you remember the primetime action night?
I do, when we Matt gave you so much Matt specifically.
Yeah, I was going to say Matt discovered it was free. Yeah. And then was I don't think he was going to leave that night until I Jeez. Grabbed the username. Yeah.
Well, because he has the name Matt Brown, yeah. And there's roughly 5 bajillion Matt Browns. He couldn't believe that you wouldn't take advantage of having your own name.
At Matt Brown M2, right? Yeah. I know, so from producing here from years, I know way too much about people's emails and Twitter handles at this network. His email, though, I can't remember because there's so many letters going on.
Oh, speaking of Mateo Brown, he will be on with Stormy today. How about that?
There we go.
The band is back together.
Yeah.
Hopefully she won't have him eating chips that will put him near death. Do you remember that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What
was that segment called? Bets or Consequences? Something like
Bets
that,
Bets or Consequences.
Right?
And apparently Matt had to eat one of these tortilla chips that is designed to like kill you.
It was like, you know, the thing going around on the internet like 2 years ago with those chips that killed that had people dying basically.
Matt almost perished, like for real.
He did.
He almost died. I'm also supposed to hang out with Matt Brown today because there's a Challenger tennis tournament in Vegas.
You were telling me this. Where are they playing this at?
At Darling. So I'm going to go bet low-level tennis.
Nice. Tennis is one of the best sports, though, to bet while you're there, like while you're in attendance.
It's so good. But you can't heckle, though, because then the ump will get mad at you.
I'm actually trying to think if there's another sport I like to bet more when I'm in attendance. I think tennis might be number one.
Really?
Yeah, just live betting when you know the action's right in front of you.
Kelly Billen watches debates, likes to bet live tennis.
Delray Beach Open? Oh, man, many days just late. Yeah.
Delray Beach Open.
A few cocktails in me, just spread out, so much room middle of the day.
You had a drink?
No. Well, it's so great, Gil, because you can walk to the bars and then the beach, you know? It's a really great location.
We do get tweets, Cowboys_Cubs1. I'm sorry. The level of hate in your first segment, Kelly Bin Laden's hate for America and Gil's hate for the Bills and Lions has me thinking you both need a hug. I love you, mothers, he said. Have a love-filled day. Judd O'Connor, have you two found yourself leaning a lot towards favorites this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm getting spooked putting together my five. Yeah, if you just heard the first segment, I'm all about it. Numbers Guys points out that the Saints after 1 week are number one in DVOA. There you go. Aaron Schatz is a catch-all stat over there. Not catch-all, but really granular play-by-play over there at FTN Sports. And he says, greatest sports radio show of all time? He says it's Game Time with Steve Zabin. Where you at and what you hauling? I was supposed to do something with Zabe this year, Fridays.
Yeah, I remember you saying football. That, yeah.
I don't know what happened to Zabe. I got to call Zabe. RDW, let's see. Both men's and women's U.S. Open final had an average of only 1.8 million viewers. Brutal. I know it could be hotter, but they should move to August when there's no football that counts yet. Well, that's the issue is that the finals always occur. Well, not the women's final is on college football Saturday, but the men's final is always during the first day of the NFL season. So
why don't they just why don't they just move it up a day?
It's a tradition, man. It's a tradition.
I know we traditionally have the women's final on Saturday, the men's on Sunday, but if you just move the whole thing up on a day, you completely avoid that NFL thing.
Yeah, they're not going to move it. They make so much money in that tournament for sponsorships.
Oh, yeah.
It's like half a billion dollars they net from the U.S. Open. It's incredible. And now for a segment, ladies and gentlemen, that strangely might cannibalize one of our Friday segments. We call it NFL Week Overreaction or Not an Overreaction. And here's our fancy intro. Is this going to cannibalize our Are We Sure We Know thing on Friday? Conversations, Kelly and I
maybe.
Should have had before the show.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. There might be some tie-ins. There might be some similarities. But, I think you always got to do the NFL Week 1 overreaction, especially on a Wednesday. You got to wait a full 2 days, then talk about it.
How do you want to do this? You want to throw them up?
I'm just going to throw some things at you, okay? I wrote down a bunch of notes that feels like are the general consensus coming away from Week 1. 49ers are the best team in the NFC. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction because I thought that before the game. I thought they were the best team in the NFC all offseason.
Okay.
Yeah, not an overreaction.
I feel like that is, and I would even include myself in the group of, I don't know, I had a bunch of teams kind of all, I had Eagles, Lions, 49ers all right there. I think I fall in the group of, yes, 49ers have now taken the lead.
The Niners were better than the Lions and Eagles and whomever else before the game. They're still better than them.
Okay. The Panthers are the worst team in the NFL again.
It's hard to disagree with that, man.
I know.
It's hard to say that's an overreaction because, again, we went through this a number of times in the offseason. I won't again. As bad as you thought Bryce Young's season was last year, it was more historically bad than you can even sort of gotten with your eyes. Like when you went through the whole FTN preview about it, it was incredible. And he came out, the first pass was a pick, and then it went downhill from there. So I don't think that's an overreaction. As bad as Washington's defense was, as bad as the Giants looked, it's not an overreaction.
I think the statement is an overreaction only because not as many people were saying that before the season this year. We were talking a lot about the Patriots and the Giants.
Oh, okay. In that respect, you're right.
Right.
In
you
that
know
respect,
what I mean?
You're right. Because the Patriots, we talked more about in that respect than the Panthers.
That's the only, I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm going to go with the statement alone is kind of an overreaction. Is the team actually the worst team in the NFL? Yeah, quite possible.
I'm looking for a major overreaction.
Right, okay.
That wouldn't be
one. All right, the Browns offense will never work with Deshaun Watson under center.
See, I think that is an overreaction to make it that definitive because, no, if he has one more bad game, we are really in bad territory.
Okay.
But I don't think after a game against the Cowboys defense, you can say that. And I get it. The off the field things tend to tend to then, and I don't know if people acknowledge it or not, but
I'm not even talking about that.
No, no, no. Let me finish the statement. I think that tends to seep into people's minds because people, justifiably or not, right? They enjoy sort of hating on him at this point. You play one game against the Cowboys and you stink. I don't think you can jump to the conclusion that the Browns offense will never work with him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
But catch me one week from now.
I was going to say.
I was gonna catch me 7 days from now. And if he has another bad game, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, it's done.
I was going to say, I agree. But the case against him is stacking up in that regard.
That was another thing Drew said yesterday. He went immediately to DTR.
And you and I were talking about that after the show.
He jumped over Jameis.
I've never been so offended in my life. I had to like double check. I was like, is DTR still on the roster? He must be. And he is the third stringer,
yes.
Drew. Okay, third stringer on that team. We will see Jameis Winston first. All right, moving on. The Cowboys will threaten the Eagles for the NFC East title.
That's not an overreaction at all. I was more down on the Eagles in the offseason than most, and I conceded. I was like, and even being more down on the Eagles, they could still win the division. But the way you said it, the Cowboys will threaten the Eagles. That's not an overreaction at all. Of course they will. They could win it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Patriots will go over their 4.5 win total.
Ooh. That. Man, Aaron Schatz might have been right. Is that an overreaction? I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it is, too.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
I think it is, too. Although I brought this up a couple times during the summer. And yes, I'm the guy with everything under on the Patriots and last winless and all of that stuff. Yes, and fewest wins. Yes, last winless lost already. But, man, it sure feels like Jacoby Brissett's going to matter in a positive way to them. Like, that is just a
competent, credible quarterback.
He's going to mess around and help them win one or two more games than they should.
The year that he replaced Andrew Luck, this is like one of these things that got lost in history.
Absolutely.
The year that he replaced Andrew Luck, I think the Colts ended up 4-12, I want to say. They were ahead in almost every game in the fourth quarter. And people are like, oh, he sucks. Well, not exactly.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, man. All right. Caleb Williams will not be the best rookie quarterback.
Oh, that's not an overreaction at all. He will absolutely not be the best rookie quarterback. And again, I keep going back to the Merrill Hodge thing. We got to replay that Merrill Hodge thing. When he was on the show before the draft, he's like, he's nothing special. And, you know, Todd Wishnev, who's on the Megapod.
Didn't Merrill also say that about like every quarterback, though?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Oh, wait, of all the rookies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Caleb was the one getting the hype, though.
Yeah, no, he was.
But I don't think this is an overreaction because I think Jaden Daniels seems really comfortable running. And so just on the ground alone, Jaden Daniels is going to be better than Caleb Williams. But one of the, you know, Wishnev said this about Caleb Williams, which I thought was great. He's like, think about it. At USC, what were his best plays? He would just run around, avoid a sack. And then his 5-star athletes would eventually get open over the opponent's 4-stars. It's kind of his college career.
So, yeah, he took that one bad sack last week, too, trying to do that, right? It was the pass rush is coming.
Oh, doesn't work in the NFL.
Let me just run around.
Because you know like 18 everybody yards. In the NFL is a 5-star.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, all the Chargers needed was Jim Harbaugh.
All right, easy. That's an overreaction. They still have nobody on offense. Let's not get crazy. Yeah,
you getting closer to them on Survivor this week?
Not quite.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Just to follow up
can't
that, I will not be using the Chargers.
That's
the only thing I've settled on.
That Survivor clip got a lot of traction.
I thought it was a good conversation.
And we came to no conclusions.
Yeah. Except I've come to that conclusion. Okay, last one for you. The Jets are the same old Jets.
It's an overreaction. They played the Niners. You're allowed to lose to the Niners. Now, did they look terrible? Yes, but it's one game. I still think the Jets are wildly talented, and I'll use the line I've used offseason. If they get any modicum of performance from Aaron Rodgers, they're a playoff team and maybe can win the division.
Man, they did not look good, though.
But, you know, Trent Williams is in there banging on you.
Yeah.
And the Rook as well. I like that little segment. We'll run back in some form on Friday. We will come back. See, Najad joins us. Talk a little golf in NFL. That's next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Well, we have the solution for you. Introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. SportTrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Already live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. SportTrade coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. Download SportTrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Yeah, that's your first week, by the way. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here on a numbers game at VSIN, the sports betting network. You know what I didn't make enough of, by the way?
What?
Mark Borchard's heartfelt, I will not bet against the Mets and the Yankees on 9/11.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Steve the Proxy tweets in. He said, as a native New Yorker that bleeds orange and blue, we don't get a lot of all-time moments. The Piazza walk-off in the first game back from 9/11 is one of the greatest Mets moments of this century. It's easy to get emotional seeing it. Piazza's a Hall of Famer, and that's his best moment. Derby Day Day. Despite the start of football, baseball is still going strong. Shout out to Sporer going 6-0 on a numbers game yesterday. Did he go 6-0 yesterday?
I guess so.
Did I miss that? Well, good on Sporer. Okay. Brandon Kyles. Hey, thank you, Brandon Kyles. Our pre-flop Padres season win total, my favorite season win total of the entire year before the season started in Major League Baseball was the Padres over. I gave an impassioned speech at the time as to why, and the Padres win total cashes. Now we got 9 more wins to go for our second favorite on the Cubs over. He points out as well.
I really wish I could back up this Paul Sporer thing. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe.
Was that on VSiN Plus Plus Plus?
Where went seriously? Yeah.
3JackH3131 was on a Zoom call for work, and I heard you say tennis bets, and I immediately muted the call. Thanks for getting us all through our work weeks. Thank you, 3Jack. Kevin Ryan, Gil, with the change in venue for a numbers game and the brilliant idea for you and Kelly to switch seats, the show can only now be described as exhilarating and electric. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, take it. A week and a half in.
I know Kelly's exhilarating and electric. My God.
I had high expectations, but that's, wow.
Also exhilarating electric, Sia Najad, everybody, from the Monumental Sports Network in the DMV. That's what the cool kids call D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. He's the host and analyst for the Monumental Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad. That's S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Joins us on the Progressive guest line and now to talk golf and football. How you doing, Sia?
I'm exhilarated and excited. I can't wait to talk football. We got golf. I'm filling out DFS lineups for both sports. There's a lot going on. Baseball, as you guys just previously mentioned, it's a nice sports time.
It is. It's the best. October, to me, is the best of them all. But there's so many great sports times, but October still wins for me. Pro Core Championship. What did these used to be called? And this is the traditional post-golf season, if you will, tournament, correct?
Yeah, a lot of people refer to this as the fall swing. This is the beginning of it. It's the Pro Core, but people may be familiar with the Fortinet Championship, which this was previously called. And then I think before that, maybe the Safeway Open. You know, listen, these are lesser tournaments where you're not going to see a lot of the huge names like Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele. But there are some big time players, some President's Cup players, including Sahith Theegala, Max Homa, Wyndham Clark. So there's some names here. But what I love about these tournaments, Gil and Kelly, is that it lends itself to somebody further down the board winning or somebody further down the board cashing in a top 20 or top 40 market or potentially a first round leader cashing at long odds.
You mentioned Theegala. You're all over him in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been really good here before. He's probably the most talented guy. I mean, I would probably put him and Wyndham Clark as the most talented guys in this field. He's a California kid, which is going to help on a California course. And so he kind of checks all the boxes. I hate taking a short shot. He's one of, you know, 5 outrights that I like in this tournament. But he is the short shot that I like just because I think the talent gap is there, and especially when you consider the course history. So Sahith Theegala is an outright I like. I like Luke Clanton, the amateur that is
Clanton.
He's been very impressive. I like him at plus 2,500, even though he's got a lack of experience here. Eric Cole is a guy that's a big time birdie maker. He can kind of crash and burn for you, but at 40-1, I'm willing to find out because later in the season, Eric Cole started to get really hot. And then a couple kind of random names, Mac Meisner at 50-1 and Patrick Fishburn, 75-1. Those are some outrights for you.
Patrick Fishburn. What did you scream? Clanton? Was that
Clanton,
what you screamed?
Florida State. Hey, it's the only thing Florida State's got to root for right now. Okay. So, yeah.
Not on that list, JJ Spahn. I heard a lot of people loving JJ Spahn here.
Yeah, I like J.J. Spawn. I think he's a good play. I think he's a safe play. I mean, I think I'd probably prefer to play him in the top 20 market. I don't think he's going to close in a tournament with guys like Luke Clanton, who are more talented. Potentially Eric Cole, I think, is probably a better birdie maker, although Spawn actually rivals him there. But then you include Sahith Theegala, Wyndham Clark. I think Spawn is one of those guys that can finish seventh, and you're not surprised by it. But finishing first, it's not for me.
Okay. And it wouldn't be a Sia Najad segment without first round leaders bets. What do you got?
Yeah, these are all morning tea times. So a lot of this will mirror some of the outrights, but some of the outrights that I liked didn't have morning tea times. So you'll get a couple different names. Sahith Theegala, 30-1. Eric Cole at 60-1. Patrick Fishburne at 75-1, who, by the way, is the great nephew of Lawrence Fishburne. Neil Shipley at plus 7,500, 75-1. Chad Ramey, 110-1. I completely just lied about the Patrick Fishburne
thing. I was just going to say. I'm like, what?
I was going to hold it for like 5 seconds.
I was already like, what's your favorite Lawrence Fishburne movie? Now it doesn't even matter.
I was going to Google that immediately. Yeah. I was like, how did I not know this? What a great drop. I see it.
Okay. And anything else? Top 40 bet you said you had as well?
Yeah, I like Mac Meisner quite a bit. Again, the only reason he's not in the first round leader market is because he's an afternoon tee time. But I think Mac Meisner is one of those games you're going to start hearing, not just in the fall swing, but when we start up at the Century or early next year in January. I think Mac Meisner is a really good play in really good form. Love the ball striking, can pop with the putter.
See you just making stuff up about relationships or relatives, that kind of thing.
If Mac Meisner's not even a real dropped player. That up, man.
He went to the great nephew, by the way, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk NFL. Your thoughts on week one. Like, what was your biggest takeaway from week one?
You know, it's interesting. A little recency bias here because it was the last game we saw, but the Jets looked like a mess. And I'm a big Jets guy. I like them to win the AFC East. For the record, I still like them to win the AFC East. They clearly missed Hassan Reddick, but I think the Niners kind of reminded everybody that not only are they the most talented team, but that Kyle Shanahan's probably the best coach. Again, I've said this before, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, the top two coaches in the league. I mean, Robert Saleh looked just so unbelievably confused. They didn't know what to do on defense. And I think if this team stays relatively healthy at key positions, and now key positions include running back with CMC, but Jordan Mason certainly spelling him for at least a little bit. This Niners team is reminding everybody that perhaps not the Detroit Lions, not the Green Bay Packers, not the Philadelphia Eagles should be the front runners here. And I understand the Niners were already the front runners, but the trendy thing to do was to say, hey, this is not the 49ers year. It's somebody else's. And in the NFC, I just don't think that's the case.
What did you land on for week two?
So far, I like the Colts. I mean, I'm just going to fade Malik Willis. I don't really understand why this line is three. I mean, I'm taking the bait here. It was 3.5. Now it's toggled down to 3. Maybe it kicks back up, but it looks like a lot of people have faith that Green Bay at home is going to be that team. Like, I was on the Colts last week. I actually had them money line, but I also had them +3. They ended up covering the spread. And don't forget, this team was one unbelievable third down and 11 conversion between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins from getting the ball back and kicking a game-winning field goal. Anthony Richardson missed a lot of throws. But what I like about this game in particular is that you got Malik Willis at the quarterback position, but this defensive line is so underrated. And by the way, they got after C.J. Stroud. He had a good game because he's a great quarterback, but Malik Willis is not. And if this defensive line gets after Malik Willis, I don't think he's going to be able to run a Matt LaFleur offense smoothly at all. I think Anthony Richardson is good enough with his legs and his arm to cover this spread. So I really like the Colts. Other ones I'm considering, the Niners going into Minnesota and covering a 6-point spread. I kind of like that. I'm considering, get this, I'm considering taking Carolina, especially if this kicks up to 7 at home against the Chargers. I haven't done it yet. I'm considering it.
Because let's be honest, and we said this, I mean, I said this on Guessing Lines when Kelly told me what the number was. I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, the Chargers should not be this big of a favorite over anybody on the road. But yet, do you have the onions to take the Panthers plus the points, which is probably the right thing to do, right? You know, if you're doing this by the book.
I'm standing by my 7.5 number, though. Get me to 7.5 and I'll be in.
Right, but if it gets to 7.5, are you going to be like, I'm in 10.5?
No. At 7.5, I will stand by it with my hard-earned money.
Okay.
But not until then. Sorry, Sia.
Good luck.
I think it's a good sign.
I like that you say you're considering it, but you haven't gotten there quite yet, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Kelly's right. The money right now looks to be on the Carolina +6.5. But we know how this goes. As the days go by, people are like, I just can't stay away from this. They're going to take it at 6.5. It kicks up to 7. Maybe you can take an alt line at 7.5 by the time of kickoff at like -120. So, I mean, I think it's safe to wait on that one. And if it is 7.5, I will go ahead and bet it.
All right, see ya. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Sia Najat on the Progressive Guest Line at Sia Najat. Again, Monumental Sports Network in the DMV. I had malpractice at the beginning of the show. I did not say who was going to be on at the beginning of the next hour.
Yeah, you were grilling me about debates.
I had debate fever is what I had. Cleve TA is about to join us for not one but two segments. One of the best Twitter follows on the NFL that there is. I'm going to ask him about stuff I've said this week that he finds ridiculous. Maybe he has found something ridiculous. About as good of an NFL mind as there is at CleveAnalytics.com. Cleve TA on Twitter. He will join us. Jason Weingarten as well. Oh, we got the Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week a little later on. Cleve TA on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.